You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 318 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you deep into the night on actually now Saturday morning as we're recording this podcast. The Hawks are on the West Coast this week, and as a result, the game did not even finish until about 12:15 Eastern time. And of course, we're later than that here as we record here. So hopefully you guys made it to the end. Or actually, in this case, probably not. Hopefully that you made it to the end, given the fact that the Hawks fell by a score of 110-89 to the Portland Trail Blazers on Friday night. So this is the second game of the road trip. The first game, of course, ended in sort of disastrous fashion against the Suns, leaving the Hawks, potentially motivated to sort of right the ship a little bit here, but kind of never got the ship on track. You know, early on, the Hawks were battling a little bit, but things got out of hand in the third quarter, and then there was sort of a closing blow in the fourth quarter as to when Portland slammed the door, and that was the end of the end of the game. There was a lot of garbage time in this game. The fourth quarter was not, I believe, as Bob Rathen put it on the broadcast, will not be sending that one to Springfield. It was pretty ugly basketball in the fourth quarter when the benches were cleared, but before that, of course, it was all Portland, and that was the result on the scoreboard. So lots to get to, though, of course, as we talk about in every single game here on the podcast, and we'll run down sort of the big picture themes from this game. The Hawks had a really rough start from the floor as an offensive team, sort of shooting the ball. They were 5 of 18 from the floor, 0-4 from 3 in the opening minutes. They were down by 12 as a result of that, and really it looked as if it was going to be a blowout from that point forward. I will give the Hawks credit. They did rebound from that, despite the fact they shot only 29% from the floor in the first quarter. They were able to get back within 8 and actually had a 7-0 run early in the second quarter to get back within 7. There was a few instances where they were really sort of within striking distance in this game, within 3 or 4 points, and sort of battling back, but sort of were unable to get through. Famously got within 1 and were just kind of unable to break through that glass ceiling in order to take the lead, and then it was all Portland from there. There was a 20-6 run by the Blazers to go up by 17 in the third quarter, about halfway through the third quarter. That was pretty much the glancing blow that pretty much ended the game, and then there was the actual knockout blow with the 9-0 run to start the fourth quarter. From that point forward, that was about the 10-minute mark of the fourth quarter, and that run prompted Bud to clear the bench and send Tyler Dorsey into the game. Mike Muscala came in shortly thereafter, and we'll talk about him in a second. Luke Babbitt came in, and it was a lot of garbage time, as I mentioned before. A lot to get to here, but that was sort of the big picture here. There wasn't a whole lot of back and forth in this game. There was a little bit of runs from the Hawks in the first half. There was a little bit of battle, a little bit of fight in them, but for the most part, it was all Blazers on this night, and that should certainly be noted for the future. Before we get into the individual stuff, and we will definitely do that, I want to remind you guys to subscribe to the podcast, check out the entire Locked On Podcast Network. I really appreciate you guys listening to this particular podcast, of course, but the Atlanta Falcons is one I recommend in a big way. Our sister slash brother show, hosted by Aaron Freeman over there at Locked On Falcons podcast. I'm a huge Falcons fan, and as you're listening to this, probably today on Saturday, the Falcons, I should say, are in action in Los Angeles. Big game there, and of course, Locked On Falcons is your place for that, as well as any other NBA team or NFL team or even baseball team as the network is growing. You want to check that out for sure, and leave us a 5-star feedback on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave some positive feedback, subscribe to the show, tell your friends, and we really definitely appreciate that. So we'll move into the individual portion as we always do here. We'll start with the bench on this fine evening. There was a lot to get to because every single active player appeared for Atlanta in this game because of the fact that, of course, there was not too much going on in the positive realm. The guys who did not play real minutes, quote unquote, in this game. We'll start with Mike Muscala, who had not appeared in a game since November the 3rd. A long absence with that ankle injury from Muscala. He was active and available on Tuesday in Phoenix, but just did not appear and was probably on his way to a DNPCD in this game after not appearing in the first half, but because of the margin, he got in the game here. Did not score, played 8 minutes, 2 rebounds. Looked fine athletically. A couple of defensive sequences in which he looked pretty good, pretty spry. You want to see that from him. I'm sure the Hawks have some rust to knock off when it comes to Muscala. When you miss, basically 2 months of court time, that's a long road to recovery with the ankle. Obviously, Muscala is an established veteran in this league, but at the same time, a lot to sort of be reintegrated with. And he looked fine, but of course, it was garbage time. So some healthy skepticism there just because of the fact that he's not really facing high level competition. I would like to see Mescal at least be tried in the rotation. I would hope that we'll see that over the weekend in Los Angeles potentially. So we'll keep an eye on that. But he looked fine in his return from the ankle injury. Luke Babbitt appeared the same amount of minutes as Muscala. He played 8 minutes, had 3 points, 1 of 2 from the floor, 1 of 1 from the free throw line, had an assist and a rebound. He had not played in a long, long time either. In fact, there was a stretch of 6 consecutive DNP CDs for Babbitt. He had not played in a game since December the 20th. So, I've talked about this a few times on the podcast. I'd like to see more of Babbitt. Honestly, I think he's a better player than Tyler Cavanaugh as a pure power forward, and hopefully that will be something we'll see him back in the rotation at some point in time, but is kind of famous for going, 2-3-4 week stretches of certain rotations and then going back to something else. So we'll see if Babbitt reappears in the near future, but he looked fine as well in this game. Lastly, in terms of the guys who really didn't play real minutes, quote unquote, Tyler Dorsey played 11 minutes, but the entire last 11 minutes of the game was very aggressive early on, really the entire time. Took 6 shots, got to the line for 4 attempts, was 2 of 6 from the floor, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 1 of 1 from the 3-point line, 8 points, 2 rebounds, and a steal for Dorsey. He looked actually pretty athletic, and I thought played pretty well here, honestly. All grains of salt are definitely appropriate in this spot, but I thought Dorsey looked pretty good and pretty confident at least, which a good thing, because that's really his entire game is going to be offensive creation and bucket getting, and he looked like he was ready for that kind of action, I should say, probably in this game, and he played pretty well in his 11 minutes. The rest of the bench, Tyler Cavanaugh, 12 minutes of action. He did play in the first half, so it wasn't as if he was not in the rotation at all. 2 points, 2 rebounds, 0 of 2 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3, and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. Not too much to write home about with Cavanaugh. It's tough for me to have the Hawks be playing him a lot of minutes, especially when he's not shooting the ball well, because that's really his biggest value. Defensively, he's a pretty weak link, honestly. And, he obviously plays hard and does some things that are certainly probably undervalued, but I do think it's tough to play him when he doesn't have too much going on offensively. And I think Bud kind of went away from him in the rotation a little bit in the second half. Of course, it didn't end up mattering as he played the entire garbage time as well, but this was not a great Tyler Cavanaugh game. Malcolm Delaney, 18 minutes, 2 of 5 from the floor, 2 of 3 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 2 assists, and 8 points for Malcolm. I thought he's actually pretty good here. Had one nice stretch when the Hawks were trying to battle back at one point, when he had a couple of baskets in a row and had a couple of big threes, but not a fantastic game, not an awful game. He was just kind of out there for the most part, as most of the guys were on this fine evening. Isaiah Taylor played more minutes, played 22 minutes, played a lot of point guard, obviously, 3 of 7 from the floor, and 0 of 1 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 8 points for Taylor. I thought he played fine for the most part. That backcourt of Taylor and Delaney continues to work out pretty well. They were outscored in this game, but everybody basically was, except for the garbage time guys. So I thought they actually gave the Hawks some of their more competitive minutes in this game with that pairing in the backcourt. And finally, Marco Bellinelli, 18 minutes. He was a minus 25 in those 18 minutes. Sort of goes to the overall theme of the season. We talked about this on our most recent podcast about some numbers, and Marco Bellinelli's net rating is just kind of a disaster because of his defense. His offense was fine here, 8 points on 8 shooting possessions. It's not terrible, not great either, obviously, but 1 rebound, no assists, no steals, and the minus 25 is glaring. And I thought, defensively, he's pretty easy to pick on, and we saw that again in this spot. Lastly, I should say, I thought that was the last one, but one more on the bench here, John Collins, 22 minutes, 1 of 5 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3. Yes, 2 3-point attempts, 5 of 7 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block, and 3 turnovers in those 22 minutes. Had 3 fouls as well. This is not a good John Collins game, I will say that. I was actually weirdly encouraged, though. He only attempted 2 3-pointers all season long. He actually got up 2 here in reasonable time. They looked fine. They didn't go in, obviously, but 5-7 from the free throw line. He was pretty aggressive here, but Collins just in general has not been playing all that well recently. You could probably attribute some of that to lack of rhythm, because I think he's not played enough. But still, at some point, we have to say that he's not playing particularly well individually in the recent past. It's been a while now since he's had really a legitimately good game by his standards. That's not exactly a criticism of Collins. I should say that just out loud here, because I'm not criticizing him for the way that he's playing. But sort of efficiency-wise, this was the 4th straight game in which he made less than half of his shots. Before that, he was on a really, really hot streak in terms of efficiency. So it was not as if he's sort of been terrible for a long time here. But, some of it's probably role, some of it's probably efficiency, and have other guys around him not play particularly well either, but not a great game for John Collins, and we'll see what he can do over the weekend in Los Angeles. as we move to the starting five here. I think probably the biggest story individually in this game, unfortunately, was the play of Dennis Schroeder. 14 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, and 4 turnovers in 23 minutes. He was 5 of 14 from the floor, 1 of 4 from 3. I thought this is a pretty bad Dennis game. We mentioned, of course, on Tuesday that some of his play down the stretch was less than ideal as the Hawks could give up that huge lead in Phoenix. Before that, though, I would argue that he was playing his best basketball of the season at the end of December, and really for most of December he was playing pretty well, but this game was not very good. Defensively, he had all kinds of issues dealing with Dame Lillard and even Shabazz Napier at times. And, offensively, he was just not efficient at all. 14 points on, I believe, 16 shooting possessions is not exactly great from Dennis. He wasn't just absolutely terrible, but the minus 18 that he garnered was probably indicative of the way he played. I thought this was a pretty rough Dennis Schroeder game, and did not set the table very well. Of course, it probably wouldn't have mattered unless he was just out of his mind. It probably wouldn't have mattered what he did in this game, because the Hawks were pretty soundly beaten across the board, but it was not a good Dennis Schroeder game. And as we've sort of seen all season long, if he doesn't play well, the Hawks are in deep trouble offensively, and that was the case here. Kent Bazemore, pretty under the radar game, didn't really do much at all. 7 points, no rebounds, no assists, no steals for a guy who's been stuffing the stat sheet all season long, sort of across the board. Pretty alarming to see a bunch of zeros for Kent. He was minus 21, the second worst plus minus rating on the team, short of Bellinelli, and 3 of 9 from the floor. It's not a good Bazemore game either. You didn't see much of his playmaking and sort of gap filling that he's been pretty good at all season long. And again, that starting backcourt really had a lot of issues in this game. Miles Plumlee, 4 points, 2 rebounds, very anonymous game, 21 minutes, I should say. Didn't really do much at all. It was matched up with Yusuf Nurkic. Bud probably wanted to use his size a little bit on Nurkic, who's a monster of a man. But aside from just having that sort of big presence on the court, Plumlee didn't really bring much to the table here. Torian Prince, 11 points, 8 rebounds, was 4 of 11 from the floor. Did not have a great game either. Had a couple of nice offensive plays, especially when the Hawks needed them in the first half of the game when it was still competitive, but in general didn't bring a whole lot to the table. Wasn't overly efficient either. And finally, Ursula Ilyasova, 4 of 11 as well from the floor. So both starting forwards were 4 of 11. 9 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals, and a block shot for Ilyasova. I thought he was actually okay here, but didn't play great at all, obviously, as nobody really did. I mean, it's tough to find somebody who actually, I thought, legitimately played well by their standards, I guess, aside from Tyler Dorsey. Maybe you pick out Malcolm Delaney or Isaiah Taylor as the most likely candidates to have said that they actually played above their heads a little bit, potentially. But yeah, sort of an across the board and sort of underwhelming performance from the Hawks. And obviously the box score tells that story in a pretty significant way. Offensively for the Hawks, a 92.3 offensive rating, 36% from the floor, 31% from three. It was really ugly at times here for the Hawks, and not a big surprise that they were unable to generate a lot of offense, but 29% shooting in the first quarter, never really improved too much from there. Defensively, a 114.1 defensive rating, and honestly, some of that was probably garbage time. It was a little bit worse than that for most of the night. The Blazers shot 54% from the floor, 43% from three, 79% from the line, had 30 assists, whereas the Hawks had only 14 assists. That tells a lot of the story as well. Some more ball movement from Portland, and they kind of did whatever they wanted to do for the most part this evening. In the previous podcast, I talked about how well the starting lineup for the Hawks had been playing in terms of net rating. That was a positive for the season so far with that starting five, including Miles Plumlee. In this game, it was Portland starting five that kind of did all the damage. Everybody was plus 10 or more, and they really thumped the Hawks in a lot of ways. And that ended up proving to be one of the big factors in being the difference here in this game. In general, though, the Hawks just didn't play well, and if they're not going to play well on the road against a team that's better than them, the results are going to be pretty ugly, and that was the case here. So, a 21-point loss, not the end of the world by any means. But the trip continues. 3 more games on this road trip. The Hawks now have a back-to-back in Los Angeles against the Lakers and Clippers on Sunday and Monday evening. So we'll definitely have some coverage of those games coming up. No podcast on Sunday, of course. It's a special edition on a Saturday because of the Friday game. So here we are for that. But we actually have somebody on the scene in Los Angeles. Hopefully that will come to pass. And we'll have a little bit of an interview probably just a regular podcast on Tuesday after the fact with those Sunday and Monday games. But we'll do a quick Monday podcast breaking down the first game of that back-to-back on Sunday, and then we'll come back with a more extensive look on Tuesday. So please stay tuned for that. Tell your friends again, subscribe to the podcast, do us that huge solid. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you guys on Monday.